Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I am excited about tonight's Bible study. I think if you are a new Christian, this is going to be new territory. If you are a seasoned veteran, some of the things that I'll say are familiar but have never been put together quite this way for you. It's nothing new. There is no such thing as new truth. If anybody tells you, I have a new truth about the Bible, they're a filthy liar. There's no such thing as new truth. He is all truth. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 10. We're going to read through verse 19, but I want you to get to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Notice that word there, want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Notice those words, giving and receiving. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity. There's a word that I want you to notice. Not because I desire, notice that word, a gift, but a desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Now watch this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 19 is what we'll focus on tonight. But let me start with your attention here. We humans are selfish. Most all that we do centers around how life affects us. We visit with others, but we focus 98% of our life on ourselves. We live way much more selfishly than we really think we do. We live for our wants, not our needs. We've been way too spoiled in America. The last 75 years have been unbelievably prosperous in America. We really don't know what it's like to be in need in America anymore. America is the land of plenty and wealth. This is why so many want to come here. Many poor people have fled from all over the world to try to share in America's wealth. They carry all that they own and walk for thousands of miles to come to a border to try to get in, legally or illegally. Now, I believe in immigration, but I believe in following the laws. By the way, a country that has no laws about who comes into their country is not its own country.
That's right.
You can't have a country with no borders.
That's
globalism. Now, here in Philippians 4, God tells us about the Apostle Paul. He's writing back from God's words to the church at Philippi, and God uses Paul to teach them a truth that honestly, and I hate saying it, we 20th and 21st century Christians have taken so selfishly that we've perverted what God said. Now, let me help you with something here. When the people of Philippi sent money and gifts to the Apostle Paul, he was thanking them here in chapter 4. That's why he said, Ye Philippians know also in verse 15 that in the beginning of the gospel I departed, not anybody communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. In other words, how they could help me. And we found in verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, they had sent some things to him and he was thanking them. Now, I say that all to say this. Then it gets down to verse number 19. Notice God uses Paul to say this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, God doesn't act like a genie in the bottle and you rub it and he pops out and he gives you whatever you need or want. Too many people think prayer is God is a genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and he pops out and says, what may I do for you? And you tell him and he, poof, all of a sudden it's there. That's not how God works, and that's not what Philippians 4:19 is all about. God tells us, though, that we could have, by the way, we can get what we need, but there's a process by which to get it. I'm going to give you that recipe tonight. Let me give you the three ingredients. I'm going to spend about 32 minutes on it, and then I'm going to shut her down. Number one, my God. Number two, shall supply your needs, all your needs. Number three, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those are the three ingredients. Here we go. Number one, my God. Thank God we have Jehovah as our God. I am so glad I don't have to pray to a statue or to a piece of wood or to a stone or to some star out in the middle of the galaxy that nobody knows where it came from. I'm glad I don't have to pray to some imaginary character like Allah. I'm glad I don't pray to some fat-bellied, bald-headed dude named Buddha. Looks like Brother Scott without fur on top. And I'm not making fun, but I'm glad I don't have to pray through St. Christopher and St. Michael and St. John the Baptist Catholic, and which never did make sense to me. There was a church in my hometown called St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. Boy, is that an oxymoron. You don't have to pray through the Holy Father, the Holy Mother, or the Holy Cow. We can talk directly to God. We don't worship a river, a frog. You know, the Egyptians weren't real bright. You look at, they had thousands of gods. That's something known as polytheism. The Greeks were the same way. And be careful studying Greek history and getting into the Greek mythological gods. Key word there is gods. Let's not study false religion. You say, well, it's just novel. No, it's evil religion. You go to the book of Acts, Bible talks about Paul being at Mars Hill in Greece there, and he was saying to the tomb of the unknown God, they were talking about all these other gods, and they said, in case we missed one, we even have a God that's to the unknown God just in case we missed one. That's how vile they were. Now, may I say this? Thank God we have God as God.
Amen.
Now that you're all excited, you ready? We're not to be God to ourselves.
Amen.
We're not to make ourselves God.
Right.
That's what sin does to us. Genesis chapter 3, Satan tempted Adam and Eve and said, wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil yourself? Wouldn't you like to choose what's right and wrong for yourself? You don't need God. You could be your own God, and we struggle with it ever since. We have the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe. Why do we think we can do something better than he can? Did you ever think about how powerful God really is? He spoke everything that is into existence. By the words of his mouth, he spoke. With his hands, he created man. But by the words of his mouth, he spoke everything into existence.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? That God has a whole lot better idea how life is supposed to be than I do. God has a better grip on your situation than you do. I'll promise you. God's got a better grip on coronavirus than any man does. That doesn't take much. We need to humble ourselves and realize that God is God and we are not God. I'm going to make a statement here. If you look on our church sign, if you look at our gospel tracts, it doesn't say morning worship service. There's no such thing as a public worship service in Scripture. You don't come to church to worship. Worship is telling God how mighty, how powerful, how wonderful, and how great He is. What I just did was as close to public worship as you can get. I've been talking about how good God is. He's all-knowing God. He's the all-powerful God. He's the ever-present God. He's the God of creation. He's the God of the Word of God. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can I tell you something? He is something else. Now, that's what worship is. We ought to take time daily and do nothing but make a list of what God is and thank Him for who He is. Not thank Him for what He's done, thank Him for who He is. Say, why is that, preacher? It'll keep you humble.
That's right.
Show me one thing you've ever created out of nothing.
Good.
Please don't get mad at me for this. I'll use it. I'll use the ridiculous. I laugh at the recycling thing. I think we ought to use everything we can and reuse everything we can. I get that. Oh, plastics won't break down in the landfills. Do you know where they got the materials for the plastic to begin with? The dirt. It all came from the ground. No, it's not supposed to break down. God put it there so we could use it. You say, well, what if it never breaks down? Dig it out, melt it down, and use it again. It's not going to destroy the world. Everybody doing okay? Take time to daily worship God. There is no such thing as public worship in Scripture. But we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. Do you realize that is all God has to do is speak the word and you're done? When you get to the point where you realize that's all He's got to do is say the word, and you're done. Put you in a submission hold, so to speak. There's when you're growing up, there's guys that think they're tough, and they go around beating on people and hitting on people and throwing people around, and we call them bullies. My daddy taught me a long time ago, the best thing to do is stand up to a bully and knock him on his backside. You never have to worry about him again. He said, son, don't you ever start one, but if somebody starts it, you finish it, but don't you walk away from it. He said, if somebody's bullying somebody, he said, step in and knock them down. He said, you gotta get tough with them. I've learned when people are mean and nasty, you got to stand up to them and say, hey, back off. I deal a lot with business people, and sometimes they get a little bit of a sour attitude. Now, I try to be nice, but every once in a while I'll say, hey, do you know who you're talking to? No? Okay, back off. Not that I think I'm something, but may I say this, I represent someone who is.
Nice. That's good.
I think it's criminal. It's a good thing I'm not a police officer. Because the way some of you talk to a police officer, I'd throw you in jail if I could. My dad taught me before I ever started driving. First thing you do, put the car in park. Second thing you do, you roll your window down and put your hands on the steering wheel and wait for instructions. He said, I don't care if they put you in handcuffs and take you to jail. That's what lawyers are for. We'll take care of it later, but you can't get out of jail if you're dead. He said, don't you cop an attitude. You just say, yes, sir, I don't understand, sir, whatever it is, but you answer appropriately. Yes, sir, Dad. I have a CCW. I'm often carrying. I decided before I ever carried a weapon. By the way, in the state of West Virginia, you don't have to have a CCW. We have them here in our church for those that are going to work with church security so that we have another line of insurance help as far as that goes. Plus, there's a few other reasons for that. But I decided before I ever carried a weapon in public that if I ever was pulled over, the first thing I'll do is declare I have a weapon and where it's at to a police officer. Do I have to? No, but he doesn't know me. And if you dealt with what they dealt with, you'd learn to respect why he's approaching you like he does. He doesn't know you have a good intention. And if you had that good of intention, why'd he have to pull you over? Ouch. Everybody doing okay? Say, why do you do that, preacher? Because I respect that person. I respect their position. They don't know me. I thoroughly expect to maybe, if that would ever happen, to be asked to step out of the car and get handcuffed until he knows and runs a check on me. I don't care. I'm ready for it. I was hunting one day, driving in Indiana, drove from, it was about an hour from where I lived to my hunting spot. And I had another preacher with me. We were going hunting. I got pulled over on Route 65 doing 65 miles an hour, and the speed limit was 65 miles an hour. But it was starting to rain. And the Indiana State Trooper pulled me over, and he said, "You're not going to get a ticket. I just need to slow traffic down. But I need you to step out and come to my car." And I've got my hands up here. I said, "Sir, that's fine." I said, "My buddy and I are going hunting." I said, "And I know you want my driver's license, and I have a hunting knife on my front right hip inside my coveralls. And I'm not moving till you tell me what to do." I said, "What would you like me to do?" He said, "Can you reach your wallet without..." I said, "If I can stand up and unzip the outside of these, I can reach in my back left hip pocket." "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you want me to take the knife out and put it on the dashboard?" He said, "Nope, anybody willing to tell me what you just did, you're okay." He said, "Just don't reach to the right side." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "Do you need me to open up the trunk so you can see the guns?" Or I don't know if it's bows or guns. I don't remember what we... He said, "No, we're okay." He said, "I can obviously tell you're going hunting." I said, I don't want any troubles. And then I found out. He ran my name. He said, "Are you assistant pastor at First Baptist?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've been to your church." We talked for a moment. Got back in the car, gave me a little pink slip, said warning. Didn't go on my license. It's all he wanted to do is slow traffic down. But I respected him enough. I wasn't going to just reach through and show a hunting knife on my hip and him wonder, okay, what's happening next? What's back there? Say, why is that? Respect. How come we don't respect God that way? God, I don't need you. I got to get myself out of this. Can I give you a recipe that works for me? One plus God equals enough. Amen. One plus God equals enough. I've learned that if I let God be God, add me to God, there's a chance we can get it done. But if it's just me and I don't have God, no chance. No chance. Number two. So my God, number two, shall supply all your need. I want you to look at verse 19. I want you to circle a word there, your. Notice God does not say, "But my God shall supply all my need." God didn't say he's going to supply your need as far as you as being in the first person there. God was using Paul to say to the people in Philippi, because you gave to me, God will supply your need. Because you gave, God will then give back to you and supply what you need. Paul wasn't saying, "But my God will supply all my needs." That's not what it says. That "your" is pointing back to the people who gave to Paul. You see, the word "need" there is interesting. The word "need" means employment. It means work. It means business. It means the means by which to get food and clothing. In other words, God used Paul to say, because you gave, God's going to bless you in your work, in your business, how you get money, maybe a raise. And God's going to bless you because you gave. God will supply your need because you gave to my need. So how do you get your needs met? Give to others' needs. And as you give, God will then supply your needs. Boy, that's important. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6 says, notice, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. God does not want us using our finances as a god. Can I tell you something? This right here has become God in our world. Look how people will do anything to get that. They'll steal so they can get it to buy drugs, to buy booze. The booze is not their god, the money is. Now, you see, you have to have money to live. But when you live your life for nothing but money, you have a pretty sad life. Can I tell you something? Money makes a pretty bad god. Let's look at Bill and Hillary. Let's not look too long. I'd say let's look at Nancy Pelosi, but let's lightly think about it. Think of all the powerful people with a lot of money who do a lot of bad things, and that's all they have. I have known people who are very wealthy. The man we had here about 2 months ago, Stuart McMillan, from Task Force Tips, he's worth minimum $500 million. Minimum. Common, ordinary guy. He has the wherewithal to have a lot of things. He flew here on an Embraer jet that he owns. If you know anything about that, they started about $10 million. Has to have a co-pilot fly with him because it's such a big jet. He's got his pilot's license. Now, I say that to say this. Money is not his god. You can get to a point where you let the acquisition of money, things, get to you, and money becomes your god. Look how many people will miss church to go to work. I'm not saying that just because you miss church for work from time to time, sometimes we don't have control of a schedule. I get that. But when you choose to work at church time and you didn't have to, then money has become your god. I believe that a man ought to take care of his family. I believe that a person needs to work when they need to work. I get that. I went through Bible college and I worked at the afternoon shift. Didn't make it to one Wednesday night church service in 4 years of Bible college. So I get it. I had to work. But that doesn't mean, by the way, I respect the people that fly into here from work with their work clothes on. Some of you hadn't eaten supper yet. You just grabbed everybody and said, let's go. Or you woofed it down on the way. That's why you're missing half a finger. Just because... can I tell you something? When you learn to give, God will supply your need. Now watch this. Just because you feel you have a need, God's not obligated to fill it. Let me say that again. just because you feel you have a need, God's not obligated to fill it. He promises to fill needs of those who have given, not the ones who want given to. Do you hear that? He promises to fill the needs of those who have given, not the ones who want given to. Oh, my soul, if I could keep track of how many phone calls the church gets for people that want us to pay their light bill, their water bill, their rent, buy them food, give them money to go and see their lost loved one on their plane, just give them the money, they'll buy the ticket. Oh, yeah, the things I've heard, I could have bought this building in cash. Seriously. It is unbelievable how we think the church has become an extension of welfare. And we're supposed to take care of each other. I agree with that. I think we ought to help the poor. One of our bus families had a fire a couple months ago. We took an offering. We raised almost $1,000 for them. Had a van load full of clothing for them. One of our newer families had some furniture that they gave to them. They just moved into a new place this last week or so. And praise the Lord for it. And they're going to send us some pictures and you'll get to see it. That's what the church is for. But not just because you'd rather buy drugs than pay your electric bill. Am I supposed to pay your electric bill?
Good.
You would be shocked how many times I've been cussed out because I wouldn't pay somebody's bills. Well, I've called this church. I mean, they know the circuit. Trust me. It's hilarious. Our finances show us what's most important in life. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now watch this. You show me your checkbook register, I'll tell you what you love. You show me all the money you buy on food for you, and I'll show you what you love. Just because your stomach grumbles doesn't mean you have to stop and fill it. Well, it gurgled. Okay. How much we spend on me and mine, or how much we spend on others. And I'm not talking about, I'm even talking about just within your own family sometimes. You'd rather spend money on you than the people within the four walls of your house. Some of us are so selfish that we'd rather spend on me and let everybody else fend for themselves. Well, they can spend their own money. I work hard for that. Well, when you said I do to all of them. Everybody doing okay? When we give to help others, it's that so that eventually when we have need, God will supply. Sometimes I've said this often, God doesn't always dump a cash gift or a check on your lap, but he might give you an extra couple hours at work or a new job.
Amen.
He may give you more prosperity at work. He may give you better health so that you can work longer and work better. But God's blessing in a business will sometimes be how he blesses you and fills your need.
Right.
Hey, look around. There's very few people in our church unemployed right now during a coronavirus. I think we have 3 people in our church that are unemployed. That's it, that I know of. You ought to take the phone calls I've taken over the last few weeks from preachers. So, my God shall supply all your need. Now watch this, and I'm about to have a spell. You ready? According to his riches in glory. Now notice that. According to his riches in glory. Take your Bible, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Some of you know where I'm headed already, but it's okay. Malachi chapter 3, I want you to look at something here. Look at verse number 6. Go to the book of Matthew and go back one page. And it's not the one that says the New Testament, the one before that, all right? sorry, Brother Scott, one more page. Malachi chapter 3, if you have a very small Bible, it might be 2 pages, all right? Look at verse number 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers, and are gone away from mine ordinances, not kept them. Return unto me, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? How? In tithes and offerings. Verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of where?
Heaven.
Heaven. And pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God says to those who give scripturally by tithes and offerings, God will pour out a blessing and he'll rebuke the devourer so that what you do, your business, what you have will last longer and not, it says, not cast forth fruit before its season. In other words, when everything else is all trashed out, yours is still going strong.
Amen.
Now listen to this. I am not one of these health to wealth and you give seed money and God blesses it. That's a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of televangelists want to live in a $14 million house and soak everybody, and it's wrong.
That's right.
But may I say this, God says to those who tithe, God will pour out a blessing and open the windows of heaven. What does Philippians 4:19 say? According to his riches in glory. Where's glory? Heaven, by Christ Jesus. In other words, we activate the giving of God and the riches of God by our obedience to tithing. Now, let me make a few statements here. God wants us to tithe so we can get our eyes off ourselves at least 10% of the time. Part of the purpose of tithing is for you to get your eyes off your own finances for yourself. Because God wants to show you he can do something far bigger than you can do.
Amen.
Did you know you can't outgive God?
Right.
I've tried. Trust me. When we built this building, there were weeks I didn't take paycheck. I cut my paycheck $15,000 a year to go into this. I didn't have a bunch of money saved up to put everything I had into it. I said I can't give a bunch, but I can keep a bunch from going out. So I did. You know, my wife and I didn't change how much we tithe, though. And God provided. I still haven't taken it back. Some of it we did, but not all of it. Say why? Because I wanted to hire Brother Josh. So I put a lot of that towards hiring him. Say, why is that, preacher? Because I believe in just doing our part and God will take care of the rest. And look what he's done. Now, listen to this very carefully. Look how God blessed Dr. Anderson. Gave tens of millions of dollars. At the height of Dr. Anderson making money, he was giving God 90%, living on 10%. He said, I'm gonna try to outgive God. God kept blessing him and blessing him and blessing him. He's going to be 90 years old in a little over a year, and he still has a couple million dollars to give away. Say, how is that, preacher? Well, I think God blessed his giving and God supplying his need. God promises to open the windows of heaven on those who tithe. Those are the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, let me finish with this. As a Christian who doesn't tithe, does not tap into God's riches. If you want to tap into God's riches, learn how to tithe. You can suffer down here all you want, but when you do it God's way, it's a look around. There's a group of people who learned how to tithe, and look what God did on this property. Brother Fugit told me this week, he said, Brother Bush can't wait to be there in November. He said, that's one of the prettiest church properties in America. He said, it's one of the most pretty settings for a church I've preached in anywhere in this country. He said, it's just amazing. I said, yes, sir. I'm spoiled rotten. And I know it. Can I tell you why God did that for the faithfulness of you people? Not me.
Amen.
Shoot, this was just an old junky piece of land. I still remember some of you in this room saying, preacher, are you sure? Are you sure we can, this piece of property? Yeah, look at it now. A Christian who doesn't tap into God's riches, you're your own God financially. You're too busy doing for yourself that you can't do and won't do for God. Now this one's going to hurt. You ready? Say ouch, because you're going to need it. We are not to get into unwise debt so that we can give to God like we should so that he can bless us more.
Amen.
Say, what's unwise debt? High interest rates, credit cards. Spend all you have and live paycheck to paycheck. If you make more than probably $30,000 a year, $35,000 a year, there's no need to live paycheck to paycheck.
Sure.
You're just spending way too much. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Most people hate a budget because they don't want any restraints because they want to play God. That's why you don't have anything. The more out of debt you are, the more you can give, and the more you can see God bless you. My wife and I built a new home. Been in it about a year and 5 months now. Don't build a church building and build a house at the same time. That's not wise. Sell your house and live in a basement apartment for 6 months while you build your house. But I made it. We're still married, so praise the Lord. But thank God for it. Now, I was able to build a house for what I was going to pay for one already done, and I had all brand new everything, and we just bit the bullet and did it. Kids have moved it out, and none of them have keys. Praise the Lord. Mindy comes home. She's got a knock. Now, wait a minute. Say, how did that happen, preacher? Well, we built up enough equity in our other house. My payments aren't much different than my other house was. And I got a brand new house to take care of my wife for the rest of our lives in. Doesn't need a lot of maintenance. And it's all on one level. Praise the Lord. She doesn't have to go up and down. We had one of those split four-year jobs. You know, not good. Can I tell you something? Money doesn't mean much to me. You have to understand, 30 years in the ministry, I've handled hundreds of millions of dollars. I have run budgets. When we were in Indiana, our budget was $44,000 a day. $27 million budget bringing in for that giant work up there. Trust me, I've seen a lot of money. I've handled millions and millions of, just in the 7 years of this church, we were in the ballpark of about $3.5-4 million that we've handled through here, plus a $620,000 loan. I'm used to numbers like that. I don't get panicky over it. But I'm also not afraid to make sure all the lights get turned out. Not afraid to say, okay, there's not as many people at church right now. Let's have trash pickup once a month versus every week so that and save $70 a month on trash. Say why? Because I believe in saving it. If that last 10 months there went $700, that's a good chunk of money. That pays Mrs. Barnes for a couple days of work, you know. When we are busy giving to help others in need, we don't focus on our own wants, thinking that they're needs. Most of us really don't need anything. Go home and look at the cupboards and find out what you got there. Most of us throw out in the trash more food than most people will eat in a week. It's amazing. I'm not going to look at anybody. Most people spend money on coffee enough to feed a family in another country for a week.
That's crazy.
I wasn't looking at you, so you can't say I was preaching at you. Track your spending for a month. Find out how much you spend and where you spend it. You'll be surprised how fast you could pay your credit cards off if you'd quit stopping at Sheetz and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and everywhere else. Just because you stop at the gas station to fill up doesn't mean you've got to go inside and fill everything else up, too. Everybody doing okay? Now we went to meddling, didn't we? Yeah, buddy. You see, we want to spend it all. Do you realize back, the people that came through the Depression are the ones that had retirement, and they made a whole lot less than you make? They lived on a whole lot less, had a whole lot more in the bank, and gave to their grandkids after they died. Wonder how they did that. They never thought of stopping at the gas station to buy food. You went to the gas station to get gas. And usually they pumped it for you. And they had that little doojigger on their belt and counted change back. How many of you remember one of those things? Oh, yeah, I'm old enough to remember one of them. Go to the old Clark gas station or Redhead gas station and fill her up, and cost you less than $5 to fill up your car. Gas was 60 cents a gallon or so, 70 cents. I don't remember that load, Miss Kathy. You're older than me. may I say this? Here's the recipe. Jehovah God supplies the needs of those who give by the riches he has in heaven by Jesus Christ. We're not to live for ourselves. God wants us to obey him in tithes so that he can pour out a blessing upon us. Remember, God shall supply all your need, not my need. As I give to help others, God will resupply them because they're givers. And as you give, God resupplies. As you give, God resupplies. As you give, God resupplies. Brother Hiles used to preach what he called his silent sermon. I'm going to preach it for you. You ready? Here it is. That's how you give and get. But when you start doing this, it doesn't come anymore. Too many of us are sitting there going, because you stuffed it in your pocket. When we pray, we get to give, and God will then resupply. And we give, God resupplies. Grace Baptist Church is blessed financially because we obey God, and the windows of heaven have been opened on our church. That's what God supplying all your needs is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, I'm going to give just a short, just a couple stanzas of an invitation, but I wonder if you have a need, maybe you need, and by the way, I'm not asking you to give more to God. I'm not asking you to do it for the church. I'm not saying you need to increase your giving. No, I'm just asking you to obey God, so that you can get the blessing of God on your life.